So I have Hao Chu with me. Welcome. Maybe can you introduce yourself in a few sentences?
Hi, my name is Vincent Xu, or Hao Xu, if you want to call me Chinese name. I'm working for Thoughtworks China for 10 years, and I'm now the current head of technology of China. Yeah, and currently my primary focus is to help us to develop a solution to support the China local market. So that is pretty much about me.
Yeah, what is the need of the Chinese local market?
Oh, that is kind of interesting because since we have so many different companies there, one of the urgent challenge here is the internet company. So they're building really cool technology and they're building really cool product and people are all using their product. So all the traditional industry is bank, like financing institution or retailing, like this area, people thinking, okay, we can borrow this idea from those internet company to actually building a better and a stronger business. So that is one of the really hot topic currently in China. So, we actually building two product solution to helping them. One is called the P2P. It's a peer-to-peer lending system. So basically the financial institution, so they can help people fundraising online for like whatever purpose. So another one is actually called the O2O solution. So that is a primarily focus on online to offline. So if you have a offline like retailing store, how can you have a online channel? How help you to bring more users, and how you're gonna better leverage the online channel to manage your customer? Those two are the current product and solution we're working on.
Okay. So what is the topic you want to talk to today?
So the topic is kind of interesting. So it actually came from a question. So why a product team like this? So when to any product team, you will see a product team in a quite interesting structure. So you have a product manager, you have a business analyst, and you have a bunch of developers like working there. So there is a pyramid structure in every single team or in the most team you encounter in the world, and there's a role division like in the teams. So someone say, okay, I'm a developer. Someone say I'm a QA. Someone say I'm project manager. So the topic is we're gonna think about why is that the case, because it's not actually a natural thing, because it's actually not that natural, because
we are all humans kind of.
Yeah, yes, because that is actually quite fascinating. We're starting to think about this, because this actually touch some of the really core of a management, why we're building a structure like that. And I did a little bit of research based on that, and there's something really interesting. So the role division actually came first. So it's mentioned in the book, national wealth. So I don't know the English name of the book.
Yeah.
But it's talking about the job division in the first two chapters, the division of the labor. So that is a fundamental thing, because that is kind of really interesting, because it's talking about as a company, so you can't hire a single person. Because for example, my name is Vincent, because the company say I'm not saying I'm gonna hire Vincent, I'm gonna hiring him to do something. So that is the capability I'm looking for. So if I'm looking for a particular person, that is really difficult to compare one person to another. So and then if we thinking them as a role, so we actually thinking they were interchangeable.
Yeah.
So if I'm saying I have a project team, I want two developers. It's much more better say I'm a project team. I want to have Vincent and I want to have Jeff or whoever on this team. So the later case will be more difficult and more challenging to the company. So they actually think about, okay, if we using role, that for us is much more easier. So it's not only one person available on the market. There's a whole bunch of replacement available on the market. So that is one thing really interesting. So another one is there's actually a precondition for what you can do for the role division. So it's based on the exchange. So like for example, if I'm running a restaurant, you don't even need to know how to grow something like in the field. how to feed your animals, things like that. You pay me the money, and I offering the food. It's actually the basic things how you're gonna do to have the role divisions, because I'm the chef, you are the customer. So basically we do that by exchange the product or the outcome we produce. And there is something like in there is if there is a knowledge barrier, because you don't even know what I'm doing, but you can consume the product I offering to you. So that is actually the precondition for role division. And this one actually not working for today. Because even so, if you're thinking about a product team, because for example, the BA, if he wrote a story and you don't understand,
yeah. So the BA is a business analyst who's usually writing stories for us.
Yes. So the reason is if we have a knowledge barrier, because I don't know what you're writing about, and I don't understand the business domain you are describing, so I can't actually work based on your output. So the similar things happens in the developer and the QA, because if you don't know what is the architecture I'm using, you can't help me to test for scalability if there's single point of failure or even security. So traditionally we do the role division that's for the efficiency, because if we increase the knowledge of barrier if we can live on exchange of the of the outcome, we actually improve the overall efficiency. So that is the idea behind the role division. But this kind of thing no longer working in nowadays. It's particularly in IT industry, because if we build this knowledge barrier, we can only reduce the efficiency instead of like improving them. So that is the thing. It's really interesting, because I think that is also the reason why in Thoros we don't say I'm developer, you are QA. We say you should at least have two roles, because if you understand both sides, it actually increases the whole efficiency of the communication.
Yeah, we actually say it's not a role, it's a skill set.
So yes,
you are able to fill multiple roles with your skill set.
Yeah, yeah. So. But if you're thinking that from a different perspective, because what software like engineer, what we produce is software. So if you're thinking software as a form of knowledge, instead of a piece of something or the piece of code or something or a handful of binary something. So no, it's actually a particular knowledge form. So it's transform the business like requirements from the business into a different form. It's a runnable form or something like that. Because the product we produce is knowledge itself. So thus, anyone going to consume that, you have to understand like what's in there. Because in this case, if we insist on the old fashioned to make the role division, it's no longer going to working. So at that time, what we produce is actually not knowledge. It's something. So you can consume something without knowing how to build it, but you can't consume a piece of knowledge without knowing what it is.
Yeah.
So that is it's so. But that is actually a fundamental of the practice of management. But I still like admit today. So if you found a proper knowledge boundary, to increase your knowledge boundary, you can still increase the efficiency. But for software like development, most of the case, if you try to like increase knowledge, just so the knowledge barrier, it's only gonna making things worse. So that is one thing we actually found out. To thinking about that, the team structure, every single team you have, so you have the team structure. If you're doing that, so that is one thing really interesting. So the second one is why we have a pyramid structure. So the pyramid structure, if you looking at them back, it's actually back into.
Can you describe the pyramid structure?
So in most of the company, I'm not saying in Thoros, but yeah. In most of the company, you have a pyramid structure. So it's like a project manager sitting on top, and then there is a business analyst telling people what to do, and then there's a bunch of worker or developer actually doing the job.
Yeah.
So that is the similar to a pyramid structure. That's a typical management pyramid structure. Yeah, so that is actually invented 100 years ago. So it's like 100 years ago, when Frederick Taylor starting working on the science of management, he actually came out. One of the key he came out is the division of concerns. One is effective. The second one is efficiency. So the effective is talking about do the right thing, and the efficiency is to doing things quickly. So so basically, they divided the two responsibilities, and he actually moved the first responsibility to do the right thing to the top of the pyramid, and then so asking all the people down there to do the thing quickly or something similar, because he actually described in his book the science of management. So the ideal worker, actually described in his book, don't need to have a lot of their own thought.
Yeah.
So follow the orders. Yes. Just follow the orders. But that is I think for the labor work that somehow makes sense, right? Because nowadays we are in an age where it's primarily rely on innovation, and we're working primarily with knowledge. So the efficiency and effective is no longer going to be divided.
Yeah, you can't produce knowledge without thinking, right?
Yes. So it's actually another really, really interesting thing, because I actually found out two of the really fundamental principles for management, role division and to building a pyramid structure to separate the concern of the efficiency and effectiveness, no longer working particularly with the software engineering setting. So we thinking that is a similar case for all the other knowledge workers.
So do you have any idea why role division and this pyramid structure actually stuck with us when it doesn't fit our work anymore?
I think because we learn from the past, right? Because when we first started, because software engineer is still a relatively young industry, because we can only say 50 years or 70, so at most. Because when we started, so that is the only way we knew. How I actually really structure a team to accomplish something. So that is the only thing we knew. So around that time, and actually the division of role working so well, even nobody actually doubt about that, because they say that is the rule. So
we've always done it this way.
Yeah, it's always done the way, and it's working well, really, really well. Because even like today, we still say we're gonna be a polyskill developer, but we still don't say role is a bad thing. Because generally speaking, role is not a really bad thing. But if you're considering if you have a closely collaborated team, if you stick with a role division, or because the role division actually implies knowledge barrier. So if you have a lot of knowledge barrier in your team, they are asked to be closely collaborated to accomplish something, that is really, 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 really a bad thing, actually.
What can you do to break role division in a team?
Oh, so we are not actually break the role division. We're actually taking another approach, because if those two fundamental of management is actually broken, all the practice we developed for the past 100 years, I would say it's no longer valid, or it's no longer relevant, because some of the really direct thing is, like, for example, as a manager, you can't make your developer writing a better software. Because the management is down to managing time and managing what kind of thing you're working on. Because as you're a developer, you're working on coding, and you work for like 8 hours, so that is maximum. Because how can I make you a better developer, or writing better software? Because the answer is I can't do anything. Because you sitting here writing your software is the whole activity primarily happens in your brain. I actually can't control that. So that is why over time it's so popular in the early days of software industry. It's still quite popular in China like nowadays. Because that is the only thing the manager can control.
Yeah.
So, but if you think the other way around, so how can I make you to write a better software? So if I make sure you become a better developer every day, then you can writing better software, because better developer writing better software. So there's no other way around. Then, so as a manager, what I'm really care about is actually your knowledge profile.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm really care about for a team is there's no knowledge barrier within this team. So as a manager of a project team, I'm not managing people. I'm managing the scope, the client communication. But overall, the most important things, I have to manage the overall knowledge profile of my development team. I have to make sure there's no knowledge barrier, because if there's knowledge barrier, it's going to be so many bad things happens, because people don't know what you talk about, because this particular work can only wait for someone to work on it, because nobody know how to get these particular things done, because there's a knowledge barrier.
Yeah, and then this person quits, right?
Yes, yeah. You have series of consequences based on that. And another one is I will have a really close eye to every single individual in my team. What is your current capability, in the team? And so, and then I will work on to help every single people to grow their own capability to become a better software developer. And over the time, I will have a better quality of software. I have more secure software. I will have everything. But that is a set product. It's not my goal, because my goal, so the direct thing I can control, so essentially the knowledge profile of each single one, like in my team.
Mm.
So we think that is a new thinking of how you're going to manage a team, because the old way doesn't work anymore, because from our point of view, and based on the observation we have in the whole industry, we don't think that is going to work anymore. I think it's especially true when we're more focused on innovation, because how can I, as a manager, how can I say I will have two innovation in my team? It's no way, no way to do that, right? Because that is we thinking as a manager, you should think about you are a knowledge manager rather than managing the people and all the other tangible things.
Yeah. So what you essentially say is you want to manage by knowledge profile.
Yeah.
If you would visualize or describe a knowledge profile, how would you do that?
So we are thinking this through, because we actually borrow this idea. It's like a radar.
Mm-hmm.
So the radar, by the radar, only have two rings. So the inner ring, the inner ring we call the competence ring. So the competence ring means how many skill you have to manage in order to be considered as a qualified team member of this team.
So what do you need to know to be part of the team?
Yeah, it's actually to contribute to the it's actually the inner ring. So it's actually the contributor ring. So the outer ring is actually the competence ring. So the contributor ring means you know that you can work on your own and you can make positive progress to like this team. And the outer ring is something else, and one thing is more important. You can teaching other new guys to become a contributor. Because
you can bring people in.
Yeah. Because one thing, if as a manager, if I have to manage a knowledge profile, that is actually similar to a school. Because someone came in, he has a certain knowledge profile, know ABC, but don't know DEF. But being zero is like, how long it's gonna take, and you're gonna manage A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So that is similar, like in the institution or in the school or in the university like approach. So rather than a company approach. So building others is one of the most important capability we are looking for the senior team member. Because otherwise the manager will become so overloaded, because he himself or herself will be know everything the team needs and can teach every single one. That is not going to work.
So then you're really a teacher.
Yes. So and then you have to have your team member know that, because teaching others and bring them up to speed, that is the key to for you to have a successful project, like delivery project. Because otherwise you're gonna be working with a really bad code base, because someone is not competent enough to write a piece of really good, really high quality software, and you have to deal with not fully covered test cases, and you will be dealing with there is something that's not fully like automated. You have to handle all these consequences. But the core is actually the people problem. Because someone made a mistake, it's because like him or her has a flaw in his knowledge. He or she may not know how to do it or how to done it right. Because then if you don't fix this problem, and all those problems will be repeatedly happens in your project.
Yeah, if you start a new project, if you're the manager of a new development effort, go you in and write down what kind of skills everyone needs?
What we've done is in a project team, when we first started, you have a brainstorming session and have all your team members together, and you have upgrade the reader. We call that capability reader. So you have a upgrade reader. So what is the contributor ring means? What is the competence ring means? And then every month in the retrospective, you actually revisit your capability ring. So what things need to be changed? And something need to be moved into the contributor ring, and something need to be like move out. So you keep the whole capability radar like updated. And then the next thing is, when you have a new one on board, there is an onboard period of time. Because for example, how long going to take the team to bring a new person to be a contributor? Because the reason behind that, what people think nowadays, 99% of company think, if you pass your probation, 99% of the people in the company is competent because you pass your probation. But actually, I gotta tell you, no, 99% of the people in your company is not competent. It's because not for knowledge worker, there is no repeat work at all. Because every single project that is different. You handling different customers. You are having a different like project. You have different code base. You have different team. You have different dynamic, and so it's like in your team. So all things you need to handle. There's no such thing in a knowledge worker work is as repeatable work. There's nothing is repeatable, unless that is your automation script. So your automation script is fully repeatable, but all the other work is not. If you have more experience, you have higher likelihood to be success in your next job. But there's no guarantee at all.
Yeah.
So every single one, for example, I always taking that as one example. For example, if I have two graduates, one in Beijing, one in Shanghai, because they're working with the two project team, one using Java, one using Ruby on Rails. After 3 years, they become the tech lead of each own project. And for whatever reason, so the Beijing guy wanted to go Shanghai guy wanted to go Beijing. I say, okay, he's a lead consultant, and then she is a lead consultant. You can just swap them. And then the very first day, neither of them is competent for this project. Right? Because you have 3 year Ruby experience, but you don't know the code base. You don't know Java, probably you know a little, so you don't know the problem domain. So at least for the very first few days, or even couple of days, or even month, you are not competent. So most of the people in our mind in the company, you are not competent because there's no exactly same project. You are not going to do two exactly same project in a row, because when first you onboard a project, you are not competent. And then it's the team's job to make sure you can be a positive contributor. So how long you can convert a incompetent people become competent in your project. So that is the maturity you should measure for your product team. And we are shooting for like 10 working days. So that is what we're currently shooting for in China. Because every single one, if they're on board, so the team will came out a onboard program. So it's not like only training sessions. No, it's not going to work in that way. So it's going to have some proportion of the time. It's actually a session, background, introduction, the guideline of this project, and introduce to the capability reader, oh, here is something we are using and we think that's going to be the contributor. And it's not only from the technology perspective, but also from business domain and such and such. So and so you're going to check whether you know all the things. And for some technical skills, oh, I'm working on the project with that one. And then there is still going to be someone working with you to work through the current code, the current code base to see if you get everything that is on the same page. Because different team may have different practice for even for exactly the same technology that, like they were using. So then it's a really intensive period of time. Then you're working with someone with more experience, and you will be coached throughout the code base. Even though you are new tech lead, you're still gonna go through the whole procedure. Maybe you're gonna be much more quicker than others, but you're still gonna go through this procedure because we believe in a company that's most of the worker is knowledge worker, you consistently incompetence. That is the normal case.
Yeah. All right. So any last words you would like to say before we close this?
No, I think that is okay. I think I already talked too much actually. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much. No, it was very interesting. I will post the book in the show notes so people can find it.
Sure, thank you.
And thanks.